As Kevin mentioned, during the summer, we're going to be doing a series called Being Church, looking at what it means for us to be the church. We've been through a lot over the last year around decisions around the building, and that weighed very heavy on us. And part of what I think happened is that we lost sight a little bit of what it means to be the church. I think we got wrapped up in all of that, wrapped up in the building and paying for things and making decisions, that we forgot, at least in some ways, about what it means to be the church. Now, of course, we didn't totally forget because we carried on being the church. We've worshiped and we've had Sunday school and Bible studies and we've started new ministries and done all kinds of things. But I think for us, this is a chance to refocus and to remember what it really means, what it truly means to be the church. We'll be working our way through the book of Acts, and Acts tells the story of the formation of the church in the very beginning, after Jesus dies and is crucified and raises from the dead and then ascends into heaven and sends the Holy Spirit, the church is born. And this book of Acts tells the story of the disciples, the apostles, figuring out what it means to be the church and to spread that message all across the world. So I think we'll see lots of different tidbits about what it means to be the church, to remind us as we rediscover for us as Blakemore what it means to be the church. My hope is that Acts will be instructive to us. This passage in particular tells us about being community, that part of being the church is being a community of faith together. Now, when I was growing up, the pastor at my home church was named Jim Powell for most of my childhood. And whenever someone was baptized or would join the church, he would use the Baptismal Covenant 3. I'm going to invite you to take out your hymnal and turn to page 45. Now, most churches don't use this ritual anymore. They use either Baptismal 1 or Baptismal 2. But this is number 3, and it has older roots. It goes back to the Methodist Church and the Evangelical United Brethren Church. And I always remember him getting up and just this opening statement about what the church is and what it means to be the church. So I'm going to share that with us now. The church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, the edification of believers, and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which it alone supplies. There's that phrase in there about the maintenance of Christian fellowship. Not words that we would normally put together, the maintenance of Christian fellowship. But I think what that really means is community. Being and living in community together. So there it is, right in our ritual as a church. That part of our identity, part of what it means to be the church, is community, living in community together. Now, we as human beings have known for a long time that we need community, that we need one another, that no man is an island, right? We've heard that quote. Aristotle, in the 4th century before Christ, wrote in Politics that Man is a social animal, that's what it is. A human being is a social animal. And he goes on to write that if someone doesn't need other people, if someone is not living a social life and in relationship and connection to other people, then they are either a beast or a god. Now, I would take issue with the being a god part. Last Sunday was Trinity Sunday. We touched on it briefly. But part of the idea of the Trinity is that God is in relationship. God is in community, 3 in 1, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all together in community. And that God desires community. That's why God created humanity, to be in relationship with us. And so even God needs and desires and wants community. And so it is with us as human beings. It's in our very DNA. It's built into what it means to be human. That we need one another, we need relationships, we need community. Scripture emphasizes this point over and over and over again. Let me lift up 2 passages in particular. Psalm 133, verse 1, says, "How good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity." How good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity. Being together. living together, sharing life together is good and pleasant. It's part of who we are designed to be as human beings. In Romans chapter 12, Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he uses a metaphor for the church. He describes us as a body, as the body of Christ, and that each part of that body has a specific function to play. We all have different gifts, different talents, different abilities. But when we come together as the body of Christ, that is when we're living out who we're called to be. When we work together as a community, that is what it's about. Studies have shown us as well that community is important, is something that we need. The Barna Group does a lot of research on demographics, and in 2013 they had a study that came out about our need for community. In that study, it said that 20% of Americans describe themselves as lonely. 20% of Americans self-identify as lonely. They did a similar study 10 years prior to that, and it was only 10% then. In the last decade, our loneliness as a nation has doubled. That's pretty staggering. In that same study, it found that millennials, those young adults, people about 35 and younger, 47% of them said they have trouble finding a close friend. Almost half of young people in America say they have trouble finding anyone they would call a close friend. Our society is longing for connection, longing for a relationship, longing for community. And we, as the church, can offer that. A study a year later, done in 2014, said that over 20% of people who go to church identify community as one of the main reasons why they go. One of the main reasons why people are drawn to church is to find that community, to find that connection with other people. Church should be a place where we know others, where we truly know them, and where we ourselves are known. Church should be a community. It should be like a family. It should be like home to us. Pop culture can remind us of the importance of community as well. There's a TV show back in the 80s and 90s about this. You might recognize the theme song. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All right, everybody now. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can't see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Right? That's what church should be. Right? A place where everybody knows your name, where they know your troubles, where you share in those things together. And we as Blakemore, I think we do a pretty good job at being community together. I think that's one of our gifts as a church. One of the things that we give to one another and that we can offer to the world. I think about just last Wednesday night, we had game night here down in the fellowship hall. And what a fun time that was, right? We had people of all ages, kids and adults and older adults, all playing games together, enjoying one another's company, building a relationship, just having a fun time together. That is a picture of community. I think about the talent show, which we had a few weeks ago. It was a hilarious time. People just getting up and making fools of themselves and having a great old time, showing some wonderful talent that some of our folks have, gathering around one another and supporting each other in our sharing. We do community pretty well as a church, don't we? I think about the annual retreat that we have at Beersheba. What a great time for us to gather as a community of faith. The women's retreat that happens each year, the men's retreat, all these times where we can gather and share with one another, build those relationships, enjoy being in relationship with each other. That is community. I think about the Pathfinder Sunday School class. How many years has it been together? Decades, right? Yeah, this group of folks who've been in our church and been in Sunday school together for years and years, and how connected to one another they are. They have studied the Bible together. They have prayed together. They have shared good times and bad times together. It is truly a community. And I think about the young folks in our church, the kids and their parents, and the connections that they have with each other, even outside of church. They get together and have lunch or a play date or whatever. We are connected intimately to each other. We are Blakemore. We are indeed a community of faith drawn together. Recently, we've identified some of our values as a church, and at least three of those speak to what it means to be community. One of those values is we value you just the way you are. Another one, we value children even when they don't behave like we want them to behave. And a third, we value a good conversation and the many different perspectives on what it means to walk a faithful journey. At the heart of Blakemore is community, being in relationship with one another. And even though we are good at this, we could, of course, improve, right? And I think we do have something to learn from this passage in Acts. This is the very beginning of the church, as the church first gathers together. It's just been born. And all these people gather, and what do? They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread, to prayer, to worship. And they also sell everything that they have and share with one another. What that tells me is that true community costs something. Let me say that again. True community will cost you something. Now, a lot of things that we've described that we do, a talent show or a game night, that doesn't really cost anything. But to really be in community, it does cost something. We have to give up something. We have to sacrifice to be in community with one another. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all sell everything that we have and form a commune. Okay? We could do that. There are some days I think that the church would be better off, the church in general, if we did stuff like that. But that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we have to sacrifice in order to be in community with each other. We have to give up some things that we might prefer or that we might want so that we can exist together as the body of Christ. Let's take church music just as an example. Okay? Some folks love the organ and love singing the old hymns, right? Some folks don't like that so much. Some folks love the drums and the guitar and singing the modern praise and worship. Other folks don't like that so much. We do both of those things because we are a community. So if you like the organ and the old hymns, we're going to sing those sometimes, but sometimes we're not. If you like drums and guitars, we're going to sing those sometimes, but sometimes we're not. That's part of what it means to be in community together. Everybody giving up a little so that we can be united in Christ. One of the other big things about community is that it brings us into close contact with one another. And whenever we're in close contact with each other, we're going to hurt one another. And so forgiveness is part of what it means to be in community. Not always getting our way, not always doing exactly what we want, but forgiving one another when we hurt one another. That's part of what it looks like to be community. Has anybody seen the Ice Age movies, those animated movies? There's probably like three or four of them now. I've lost count after all the variations. But in the original one from 2002, it's an animated movie. And the whole premise of the movie is that it's set in the Ice Age time, and there is a human baby who's been separated from his family. And these three animals come together. They don't really know each other, but they find this baby together. There's a woolly mammoth, a saber-toothed tiger, and a sloth. And they find this human baby, and their mission, their quest becomes to return this baby to his family, to his people. And so they go on this great journey, this great adventure, this great trek, trying to return the baby to his family. Ups and downs, all kinds of stuff. And as they do, they begin to grow closer to one another, to form that kind of community that we're talking about. At one point, they're on a mountain, and they're walking across, and what they don't realize is that the mountain is actually a volcano. And the volcano erupts, and there's lava coming down, and the lava separates one of the group from the others. The saber-toothed tiger, Diego, is separated from the rest of the group. And as the ice that he's on is melting, he's getting farther and farther away, and he decides he's got to jump for it. He's got to try to get back to the rest of the group. That's his best chance for survival. And so he rears back, and he jumps with all his might, and he's flying through the air, but he's going to come up short. And the others know it. And so the woolly mammoth, big woolly mammoth, hops down into this great chasm, catches the saber-toothed tiger with his trunk, and throws him back up to safety. Now, of course, this is a kid's movie, so the woolly mammoth ends up okay as well. He lands on a little cliff and is able to get back up. But after that, there is a poignant moment in which Diego, the saber-toothed tiger, comes to the woolly mammoth and says, "Why did you do that? Why did you save me? You could have died. You risked your life. Why did you do that?" And the woolly mammoth says, "We are part of a herd, and herds take care of one another. We are part of a herd. We take care of one another." Friends, we at Blakemore are part of a herd. We are a community of faith, and we take care of one another. We love one another. We sacrifice for one another. We give of ourselves for one another. We forgive one another. And when we do, that is true community. God is at work in us, making a beloved community here in this place, in our lives, and in our hearts. Let us be thankful for that. And let us open that community to others so that they too might experience life in Christ. Amen. Thank you.